Happy Saturday, Parashorphans and Retrogrades. I'm sorry to have to come to you live today with a story that broke less than 24 hours ago. It's by friend of the show, great scholar, Dr. Micah Hixon. I want to praise her work particularly. I want to praise LifeSite, where the article is up. Generally, I get lots of stuff from LifeSite generally, and Dr. Hixon particularly. And this is another bad story about Francis. I think it's in many ways one of a kind that there was a papal Mayan mass celebrated by Francis himself as far back as 2016, which is earth-shattering. It's humongous news and should be. If you heard about this, if you live somewhere in the South American region and you knew, or you're a Pachamama, like many of us, non-appreciator, don't write me and say, oh, I knew about this. What's the big deal? If you knew about this and you're not devastated, then we have a problem. So it's the Diocese of San Cristobal de las Casas. And in February of 2016, February the 15th, Pope Francis celebrated a Mayan ritual here. I want to talk about this today because now that we've had a decade of Francis, pretty much everyone's sick of him. From what I'm hearing, even the centrist cardinals in Rome are sick of this guy with regard to Francis. Does it really matter whether we say that Francis incorporates elements of Mayan pagan ritual to worship demons into Catholic Mass, on the one hand, which is what all of us do. We trip over ourselves to be charitable to this guy. Or, on the other hand, Pope Francis is a pagan idol worshiper. This show, Rules for Retrogrades, and this apostolate in general have stood for the proposition that, you know, secular conservatives, Catholic conservatives, the church, the world in general, need more distinctions. On this one, I'm going to suggest we actually need fewer. I simply, for the life of me, since Dr. Hixon personally sent me this article last night and just said, check this out. Thanks for your work. We meld projects a lot. Check it out. I've been seeking for a meaningful distinction between saying Francis incorporates elements of Mayan pagan demon worshiping ritual from Francis is a pagan idol worshiper. And all of us have been struggling with this since October 2019. Pachamama, the Amazonian rite. And I haven't come down too decisively on, let's just call him an idol worshiping pagan until now, where the details that Dr. Hixon covers in this lengthy article about what happened on February the 15th, 2016, and the particular elements of paganism used, you basically can't be a reasonably minded person and hold the former, you know? I mean, the LifeSite article title hyperstipulates. That's what you want to do with an article title. You don't want to get sued or you don't want to make a titular error. So the title is still the following. New Mayan Rite of Mass encouraged by Pope Francis is replete with pagan idolatry and symbolism. And then the first couple paragraphs makes it clear that Francis actually celebrated this Mass in 2016, 3 years before the Amazonian catastrophe. And it was more than replete with pagan idolatry and symbolism. It is a worshipfulness demonstrated on display worshipfulness when you hear the elements, of course, of a foreign false demon gods. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I thought about not doing the show. I don't love going live on Saturday, but something's got to give here. I don't even know, as a guy that does pods for a living, I don't even know what that means when you say it casually, privately, publicly, in the setting of a podcast. I don't know what it means to say something's got to give here, but this is several bridges too far. So at this papal Mayan mass in 2016, I want to read you some of the basics. The former prefect of the area, Cardinal Arizmendi, explains that the Mayan element, remember the Mayan pagan child sacrificing, basically South American Baal worshiping elements from this mass on February the 15th, 2016, Francis's mass, when he visited San Cristobal, involved incensing by two altar women, incensing of the altar by two wives of deacons, which we're going to get into in its finer points later in the show. What really is a permanent diaconate? I had some revelations reading this story. This mass, the pagan mass that Francis celebrated in order to bring in worshipfulness of Mayan demon gods, also involved ritual pagan dance, which gets explained by Cardinal Arizmendi. Some of these names also of the South American and Central American guys are just confusing in a strict logistical sense. Arizmendi, I'm going to have to write that here because I'm just calling him Cardinal A.
Also, don't complain about the pronunciation. You don't care.
Don't care. Pope Francis quotes at this February 15, 2016 mass, get this. This is doctrinally, de jure, de dicto, probably the worst thing. He quotes from something called the Mayan Bible. Fake religion, demonic religion, Bible, Mayan Bible. He also visited, after the mass, former Bishop Ruiz's grave. The names are like, there are like several Bishop Ruiz's and several Bishop Esquivel's, whatever. But the point is, Bishop Ruiz, to give you some context, is the one that's responsible for what Dr. Hickson will call the Chiapas experiment. Chiapas is in the southern part of Mexico, where this particular diocese, Cristobal de las Casas, is located. And the experiment was formerly, as you can guess, under Benedict, Ratzinger / Benedict, spanning a period of years, was frowned upon. The project of religious syncretism, blending Mayan earth worship, demon goddess worship, with Catholicism, of course, for all of his many faults, Cardinal Ratzinger and Pope Benedict frowned on the Chiapas experiment, shunned Bishop Ruiz, the original experimenter. He had several who followed in his footsteps, like Cardinal Arizmendi. But when Francis, in 2016, said this pagan-worshipping mass, idol-worshipping mass, he visits the grave of Bishop Ruiz, according to Dr. Hickson in LifeSite. And he does so in an honorarium. So I would answer, before we get started into the nitty-gritty, it does not actually matter whether we say Francis. Now, we find out 3 years before Pachamama incorporated elements of Mayan pagan ritual, demon worship, into a mass. On the one hand, we're trying to say so many details that we fail to generalize. It's hyperstipulation. Versus what you would normally say in any other walk of life, in any other form of life, any other social orbit, any other social context. If you're telling a story, you generalize first. That's how thesis statements work. That's how propositional thought works. You generalize first and you say, look, I'm going to give you my three favorite reasons for liking my favorite movie. I'm going to tell you my three favorite jelly beans, to use an example I used in my last Pope show. And then, well, you know, I'm going to tell you now, and then I'm going to get to them in particular. Francis is a pagan idol worshiper. That's how you would say this if you were not a Roman Catholic who's trying to be obedient. faithful to the office of the Pope, even though this Pope hates the Church of Jesus Christ, the one true church. He hates it. He loves anything foreign to it, which is, demonologically speaking, religious syncretism and what it entails. The elevation of idols. So, does it matter? Normally, I'm saying distinctions matter very much. Even relatively subtle, careful trads are not distinguishing enough. There are more positions here than just two. Sometimes I say that on this show. Not the case here. I would say this would be one distinction too many to be overly stipulative. In other words, bears, orphans, retrogrades, I say it's fair to just say this Pope, number 266, is at least by ceremony, at least by ritual. We gave him a basic de facto pass on Pachamama. He's a pagan idol worshiper. From 3 years before 2019, listen to what Dr. Hickson and LifeSite have uncovered with this story. I'm going to give some shouts out in a moment, but first, just consider this final thought of my little introductory note here. The lay people demanded from Aaron a golden calf, and Aaron obliged. He obliged them. And for this, he was kept out of the promised land. He was punished by the hand of God. Just for obliging, the lay people were demanding a golden calf. Now think of this characterization. I don't know if you have that ready at hand. I was asking Steph, who just went through this passage of the Bible. Isn't this highly analogous, almost identical? Hey, the lay people want what they want, ritual enculturation. Listen to this. We found first thing we
it's
found
funny,
right before the camera.
Sometimes you Google things and it's always like so it's like justifying, like when the first thing that comes up when you Google something just totally
vindicates
your entire point of view. So if you just type in what did Aaron say about the golden calf or the point of the golden calf in the Old Testament, the answer was he, meaning Aaron, was merging the pagan practices they were familiar with and the worship of the God that they were just beginning to be reacquainted with. So,
wow.
Yeah. Boom.
I mean, look, these are prepared comments. I always hated on, I don't know if it was Glenn Beck's show, where they obviously, he's a good organizer. He used to put together some really good shows. Still does sometimes. But when you go, wow. We found this 30 seconds before we started. But without being smarmy, wow. That's strikingly on all fours with the analogy I hoped to draw, with the analogate, what Francis has done with the Central and South American idol worship, which is totally endemic to the region. It's on all fours, meaning it's a perfectly apposite fact pattern. Far more tight analogy than I had even hoped to make. Would you read that again? This is precisely what enculturation is, in the sense which crosses the line. That's just idol worship.
The answer was Aaron was merging the pagan practices they were familiar with the worship of the God they were just beginning to be reacquainted with. So, and again, like this is Exodus 32:1-35. The golden calf, the idol made by Aaron. Exodus 32:1-35, the Israelites demanded that Aaron make them an idol, a golden calf, in rebellion against the will of God during the 40 days that Moses was absent. Moses climbed to Mount Sinai to speak with God. There he received two tablets of stone, which God wrote the Ten Commandments.
If you want to support this program, like this show, please, even more important than that, subscribe to the channel. Don't be a frequent viewer who doesn't subscribe. Click the notification bell so you know when we do a show. And see the links, particularly Subscribestar and Locals. These are our replacements for Patreon, which canceled me about 6 weeks ago. I got canceled for speaking the truth on Catholic sexual teaching. which is a big wave, tidal wave, headed our way with the German Synod away and the Synod on Synodality. I told the truth. And of course, the Skittles lobby around the world has colluded inside and outside the church. So they kick faithful Catholics off of Patreon and other platforms for telling the truth about my own church. It's unbelievable. Support me, because I do need your support, on Locals or Subscribestar. We've been really trying to beef up our subscribership there. Also, if you want to give a one-time donation, they're quite welcome at timothyjgordon.com. Click donate. Finally, you have no control over everything I'm about to tell you today. You can go find the article, read it for yourself without my commentary at LifeSite News, my favorite place to get news. Dr. Micah Hixon, one of my very favorite authors there, is the one that broke it. It's all beyond your control. To you, it's ultra vires. What's not beyond your control is reestablishing a patriarchy in your own home, number one. But number two, you can make your home in a lovely place, in a red state. Get out of your blue state. Get to a red state today. Go to realestateforlife.org. This is not some hollow talking point. This is literally what I and several of the retrogrades out there have done. That's why I plug it so much. I also want friends in the region. Get somewhere here in the deep south where it's the best part of America, the truest part of America, the blood red swath of states from Texas to Florida. Go to realestateforlife.org and get out today. Your family will thank you so much, won't they?
I thank you every day.
Literally, Steph, like, is thankful every day. Sometimes she thanks me. Sometimes she's just thankful outside that we're out of California. Realestateforlife.org will help you. Now, Steph, so you are a significant portion of the way through your Lenten reading of, the goal is the entire Bible in the 46 days. You're significantly through the Old Testament. And what struck you most was the repeated on-off cycle of idol worship in the Old Testament, right? Isn't that what struck? And that's what's going on right now. That's what I realized with Francis.
It's like the thing that enrages the Lord in the Old Testament continually, that the Israelites just forget that they're not supposed to worship any gods besides the one true God. And they just keep falling into this practice. And they get wiped out. I mean, entire cities are being eradicated. People are being, like, quote the phrase, put to the sword over this issue. Like, in, I've highlighted it every time in the Old Testament where somebody is being put to the sword over the issue of idolatry.
Steph's Bible.
Let me get it.
Next, oh yeah, I'll show it to you this time. Okay. She has highlighted this thing. It looks like every girl's notes that I would see in law school, their outlines. Girls are great highlighters and underliners and offsetters. But the point is, it's striking not that this makes God mad. After all, idol worship is commandment one's violation. Rather, it's striking how often people of God are driven to worship idols. The leaders like Aaron, and even Moses, to some extent, shares in this Karamazov-like culpability for permitting it to some extent. So even the leaders of the one people of God, the true people of God, the people of the one true God, I should say, are driven to idol worship, and that is what's going on with Pope Francis, who is an idol worshiper. This is not an overstatement. Let's get to the brass taxes. So he's endorsing this new pagan Mayan rite. For starters, Steph's going to show you her Bible in a second, but for starters, this is a spin-off of the Latin rite. That tells you that Francis is creating an Amazonian rite, I think from whole cloth. This Mayan rite is another form of the Latin rite, which I thought he was getting rid of by ritualism. And it is brand new. Why can't he just do this for us TLM people? I know you get why. Look at this thing. It's, how's that for labyrinthine? I mean, so organized and so many funny notes here. If it weren't a Bible, I'd say we should auction it off once you're done with it. Because she's written funny commentary throughout this whole thing. I mean, funny, meaningful commentary. It's a beautiful Bible, actually, and we won't actually auction it off. But if we're like a book, this is what my friend, quite frankly, does when he does a book club. He auctions off the book with all his notes in the end, and what a fun thing. But we won't do that being at a Bible. It's very well organized. But think about what's really... If we took Francis seriously at all in the realm of the other 265 popes who, whether they're good, bad, ugly, semi-decent, but you thought they're like decent human beings, not evil, just bad popes or good popes or somewhere in between, you would expect decency from him in return, and you would make this kind of appeal, you'd be tempted to anyway, to say, don't you see what you're doing? An Amazonian rite? A Mayan rite? Okay, if you really love the Novus Ordo, which is horrible and we all hate, just split them. Split them off. Like if you can make a Mayan rite or an Amazonian rite, just make a TLM rite. Call it something. Call it the bitter rite. You can even get a little dig in on Catholics like us. And just partition it off and let us go to it. And we'll be quiet. And we'll also be thankful. I'd be thankful. I haven't said that too often in regard to Francis, but I would. I think a lot of you would as well. So it proves that he's not one of those other 265 popes. He's sui generis in some way. I mean, I spent last show saying he's not really sui generis except by degree. But that degree, the high degree to which he's different from all the other popes, does matter because... I don't know. It feels like even something Paul VI might have done. If he'd have known that this would have echoed out through the last 60, 65 years as such a catastrophe, he probably would have just been like, let's keep this right and just make this gay Novus Ordo right. I mean, not formally, but technically, practically. Come on, let's all be honest. So... this new Mayan rite is like the Amazonian rite. Here's how it is Mayanism. It involves polytheism. There are elements which we'll talk about, which capture earth, sun, moon, and animal worship, which regards earth, sun, moon, animals as gods or godlike. Gods are at the very least, if we're being charitable, angels.
And that's the whole thing in the Old Testament, too. They talk about the hosts of heavens, that some of the pagans worship the hosts of the heavens. And to Catholics, we hear the word hosts. And for me, I was like, what is this? And it's the stars. They're specifically worshiping in the Old Testament the stars.
Big time punishment.
Yeah, big time punishment.
Flood and damnation kind of thing. Like they say in Ghostbusters. Biblical. I wish I could get Dan Aykroyd filtered in here saying, earth, sun, moon, stars, animal worship, very, very bad. Always fetch the grimmest results from our creator, the one true God. In the Old Testament, and Francis is now, you might say he was flirting with it in 2019 with Pachamama. I'd say it's beyond that, but we kind of all missed our opportunity to really pounce on that. I mean... We commented on it, but in the intervening years, 2020, 2021, 2022, we kind of talked about it like it was a flirtation with it. I think we undersold it, honestly. But now we can go back and say this 2016 thing is a pope that is worshiping, intermixing the Catholic Mass with demonic worship. I don't know if we've ever had that with a pope before. We've had it with our kings. We haven't had it with a pope. Even Constantine did it. And we say he's kind of good, but it's just because he's sort of hapless. In addition to the earth, sun, moon, animal, stars worship, you have animism, which is a little bit distinct. It's not just saying animals are gods. It's saying animals all have souls. It involves pantheism. It's ugly. Also highly frequent in the Old Testament. Ancestor worship. This is really big with the little South American and Central American pygmy people, whatever you want to call them. The endemic people of South and Central America love them some ancestor worship. This is a big part. We're going to go through the elements specifically the way that Dr. Hixon does in her LifeSite article. Also, the Mayanism involves, you guessed it, human sacrifice, right? It's Baal worship, Central America style, right? Baal worship with a taquito in hand. And
an enchirito.
An enchirito. And I'm not sure how this gets incorporated into the mass. This might just be a kind of nota bene, a not so good nota bene that Miss Hixon, Dr. Hixon included here. That remember, the Mayans have this sort of ghost looming in the background, large. So this, before we get to Cardinal Arizmendi, who is sort of the main character in this story, we have to cover another cardinal, Cardinal Esquivel, formerly of Chiapas, the southern Mexico area, who is the main defender for a time of adaptations of the Roman Rite, like the Amazonian Rite. Like the Mayan Rite, it's unclear whether or not the Amazonian Rite is considered biritual Roman Rite, Latin Rite, or whether it's considered a distinct rite. And this is the problem with having all these rites in the church. People defend the negotiated sort of consideration of the Eastern Catholic churches getting to retain their liturgy. If you don't know, the Byzantine Catholics have the exact same liturgy as the the Greek Orthodox Divine Liturgy. The Coptic Catholics have the exact same liturgy as Coptic Orthodox, with one little change in the creed. They do say the filioque. That little change, but otherwise, these Catholic other rites, the Eastern rites, are the exact same mass as their Orthodox brethren. It was a bargaining chip in the middle, 13, 14, 15th centuries, those middle centuries of the second Christian millennium, in order to keep them on our side, keep them from going full ortho. But it's the exact same mass, literally the exact same mass, aside from you must say the filioque in the creed. A lot of people don't know that. So there is a problem with this sort of negotiation. It's not a doctrinal problem. It's not a faith-threatening problem in the large sense. It's a faith-threatening problem in the small sense. That now, you know, those are good masses. A lot of you prefer them to the Novus Ordo. I don't know where I come out on that yet. But the point is, it's a slippery slope argument. That means I don't really condemn it in principle. I condemn it because now you have Mayan Rite and Amazonian Rite. So Cardinal Esquivel has a famed friendliness with the Amazonian Rite founder and forwarder. Cardinal Esquivel and people are saying, some folks are saying that, you know, it's always been alleged that these Eastern Rite Catholics don't actually say the filioque, that it's just, they're supposed to say the filioque during the creed. It's a controversial thing, but I'm getting texts right now, which is the equivalent of comments in the chat, the comm box, except from friends. So Cardinal Esquivel had this friendship with the Amazonian Rite founder. Additionally, he had permanent deacons from the Congregation of Divine Worship, I think under Benedict, suspended back in 2005, so early Ratzinger pontificate, Benedict pontificate, because of the practice in Esquivel's diocese, this diocese we're talking about here, San Cristobal de las Casas, of the bishop laying his hands on the deacon and his wife. The laying on of hands, as you know from the Old Testament and the New Testament, is a very big deal. And so permanent deacons were, under Benedict, held in extreme suspicion, as they should be. The permanent diaconate, remember, is a novelty. It's supposed to be a step on the way to the presbyterate or the episcopate. There was never supposed to be a terminus third ordained stage. Folks who are slightly lower info will ask me all the time, Tim, why don't you become a deacon? You know, you and Because it's nope. I don't believe in that sort of thing. I don't believe in that sort of thing. It's supposed to not be a terminal step in the... It's not supposed to be a third degree of ordaining except as a temporary thing. Another very modern novelty. You can guess where that comes from. But I have this major revelation. I'm going to unpack it in a couple minutes when I get more into it. That there's this overlap conceptually between the permanent diaconate of men and the urge to deaconize ladies. And the conceptual nexus comes in the form of deacons, who are men who get to have the marital act, being ordained, having wives who, when they're good wives, they do what Steph is doing right now. She's literally right here. She's my right hand. That's her right hand. No, I mean, literally, we're just together all day, right? If I were a deacon, which I would never become, it's corny and boring and stupid, I think. Sorry. As a permanent thing. People can write their hate about that, but it shouldn't be a permanent thing. But if I were one, which I wouldn't be, Steph would be there with me doing everything, and look how they have implemented this, weaponized it, utilized it, to the effect that even Pope Benedict, who's not a uber conservative, was like, you know what? No more permanent deacons in the area, because what they're doing is the bishops in this area, region of, I guess it's South Mexico, so we're talking Central America, is laying his hands on both the deacon and his wife, basically ordaining the wife too. In this part of the world, many churches are run by two people. You think a pastor and his main deacon, his main homeboy? Nope. In this part of the world, what did we hear about in 2019? In the Amazonian, the need for more ordains. The deacon and his wife. So this German synodal way, let's ordain women and let's let deacon type guys who are doing, pardon my French, the horizontal mambo on the side because they're married, let them, now let's just, come on, if they can be deacons, they can be priests, which is basically true, which is why they introduced this idea of the permanent diaconate, I think, around Vatican II. Let's just kind of merge the practice, you know? Let's just be honest here. This is how much incrementalism works. So we have incrementalism in today's episode working in two distinct orbits. Firstly is Francis's incrementalism. He's a demon worshiper. He's a pagan idol worshiper, allower, which is all Aaron and Moses were doing that kept them out of the promised land. That's incrementalism, because now even a bunch of you hardcore, hard-edged parish orphans and retrogrades out there are like, how different is this story really from the Amazonian thing of October 2019? Well, it's different. It's a little worse. But you're right. That was bad. And I don't typically underreact to stuff. Probably underreacted to it in retrospect. That's the first way that incrementalism works. And now the second way that incrementalism works, I'm going to talk about this in a second, is seeing what they did with the instantiation of the permanent diaconate around Vatican II. And what they're attempting to, let's take an element from the permanent diaconate, liberalize it in the male direction, and liberalize it in the female direction. What do they want to do in the male direction? What's a permanent deacon? An ordained man, third order, that gets to have intercourse in the Latin Rite. Let's just take the intercourse and say, let's just let that guy be a priest, basically. Let's let permanent diaconate deacons be priests. And they still get to do the horizontal mambo on the side. Sorry, it's Saturday. You caught me in a zesty mood. So that's how they liberalize that incremental or pre-incrementalized step around Vatican II in the male direction. In the female direction, and that's called viri probati, priests who get to do it. In the female direction, now let's say, well, basically because of the permanent diaconate, we already had the helper wives of these deacons having hands laid on them, laying on them in certain places of the world. Let's just let them actually be called deacons. So you see how they did that? That's how incrementalization works. That's why Francis is not his own man. Whose man are you? Remember? Bill the Butcher yells this in that great scene in Gangs of New York. Those of you who allow yourselves to watch R-rated movies. Yeah, it's a very R-rated movie, but it's a great movie. Whose man are you? Whose man is Francis? Well, I think he's... The mask is now off. It's been off for a while. We know whose man he is. I won't trouble to say here. But it's clear. The incrementalization works for the demon worship, and the incrementalization works for the procedural sets of steps which lead to open demon worship, like having very probati in the Latin Rite and women deacons. Cardinal Arismendi spoke to Francis as early as December of, what year do you think? 2013. 6, 7, 8 months after Francis took office, about this quote-unquote regional problem. Francis told us, Arismendi said, that the permanent diaconate could be a very timely solution in indigenous communities, and that more should be encouraged, more permanent deacons. This reflected or evidenced, this is reflected or evidenced, I forget what the exact word Hickson uses, in Querida Amazonia, paragraph 92. Now, this is a longer show. I have lots to get through. So I encourage all of you parish orphans and retrogrades, if you have a lazy dog dangling Saturday afternoon and you have some extra time, go look at Querida Amazonia, the garbage post-synodal apostolic exhortation, which followed immediately after the 2019 October Synod. Remember how quick it came out versus the one 3 years before, which had taken 6 months after the two synods, family synods? It came right out. Go look at paragraph 92. Even Arismendi, one of the Pope's men, one of the bad guys, the demon worshipers here, says that Francis told us that the permanent diaconate could be very useful, very timely, timely solution in indigenous communities, and that more permanent deacons should be encouraged because it was getting priests to be able to have sex in the Latin Rite, which is one of Francis's main goals, one of the Sunk Gallen Mafia's main goals, one of the Germanist Synodal Way's main goals. These three are interchangeable. What else did it enable to do at the behest of all three of these distinct agendas that aren't really so distinct? Women deacons. When you keep having deacons and their wives doing all the jobs of priests, you're going to get both married priests and women deacons who will eventually become women priests.
We actually have that. I'm playing this mass on the screen as you're talking, and I actually paused right here. If you look at the screen, this is the deacons and their wives and the two women holding the incense right now. You can see, I can even back it up a little bit. Let me see.
The wives are usually the incensers, which there is an office that's very importantly male in the Catholic tradition, incensor.
I believe that the women from the article, it's the women's specific job, right?
For
the
yes. Lions. Yeah, yeah, it's almost
but
always
the
women's.
You can see this
job on
the screen. We have the deacons there. The wives are holding the incense on right next to the Pope. Yikes.
Look at these mugs.
Look at all these animals, too, on the stage. Sorry.
Yeah, all the filth, all the crap, the third world crap that they clutter their stage with. I was just going to say, people tend to notice how many of my mugs have this little feature here. Either an invisible handle, if you believe in such things, or just a broken handle.
You know why that is?
If you're serious.
This is a total aside. It's because my dishwashers, of your wife. Because I load my dishwashers down to the brim. There is not an inch of space left in our dishwashers, and that's why our cups look so horrible.
There you, Steph clutters her dishwasher like a Mayan altar, which is actually a real term. Cluttered with third world crap. You know, you go to like these third world countries to take a bougie white guilt, I'm going to a third world country trip or whatever. Or if you're a sleaze bag, like American sleaze bags do this, they go to TJ to buy weed or whatever. I always look down on this practice. You're like, oh, look, it's so cute. They're selling like the wishbone of a turkey or whatever. It's just third world clutter. And they're bringing this to something called the Mayan altar. I'm going to, Dr. Hickson covers the Mayan altar in great detail. I'm going to show you all the paganism, the demon worship that these
like
folks
the
do.
Chickens, like neon chickens on stage with the Pope.
Like the head of a raccoon and the body of a like antelope. There's just so much of this. And anytime I've ever been to Mexico or poorer sections in Europe even, second world countries, you're just like, oh yeah, I forgot. This is a big part of what, I'm being careful here, indigenous peoples do. Let's keep it at that, okay? True. So, listen, Francis is saying this in December of 2013. We can weaponize the permanent diaconate. Do you think this guy had all of these realizations immediately? Like, if you make an a posteriori realization from being in office for 5 years or 7 years or 9 years or now 10 years, then you're learning on the job. He knew everything he was going to do from the very outset. Why? Because this is all part, and I'm not talking about Vatican II documents. We've talked about that till we're blue in the face. I'm done with it. I'm talking about the Vatican II, pre-Vatican II era overthrow of the church, whereupon you got a permanent diaconate. You get all four female doctors of the church after Vatican II. You get the new mass. You get ecumenism, which is really just pagan idol worship, out the wazoo. So he knew a few months after being pope to tell Cardinal Arismendi that the permanent diaconate could be a very timely solution in indigenous communities, and that more will be encouraged. And he knew eventually that he was going to pursue this Gallen agenda, which would, in the first place, allow adultery, which is what he did with Amoris Laetitia. He said you can be a remarried adulterer. The remarried adultery suggests there's no real such thing as mortal sin, or if it still be called mortal sin, it carries no punishment. It carrieth no punishment. And you're not eating and drinking damnation upon your soul, the way real Catholics believe. And then he got to Gallen agenda items too, very probati, priests who can have sex and women who can be ordained. You call it a deacon, like I just showed with the married priests. Once you can get someone into deacon, you can get them into priest. So it's all about having men and women who are priests, and they don't really care about being able to have sex with women. I think folks in Francis's camp, I think they're also working, and this is a bit more cutting edge, behind the scenes, on getting rid of the rules as to what sex one is allowed to have sex with. They're going to try to change that. So then eventually you could just have a bunch of priests and bishops who can do it with one another. That's the goal. And I'm seeing how it's all coming together more and more as we head into October, where the revolution will be televised. You know that MTV 1980s expression, it shan't be televised. It actually will this October. In 2014, LifeSite reported, I didn't catch this, that the ordinations of the deacon with his wife, basically a co-deacon, has been recommenced 1 year into Francis' pontificate. This quietly was done as a key step in the agenda. These guys are such good planners. And I didn't catch it, but LifeSite did. Good reporting that they do. No one knew exactly what the plan would be. First, we're going to tend to the divorce for divorce and communion for the divorced and civilly remarried. Then we'll tend to very probati women deacons. Then we'll get the Skittles agenda through, so there's just no more sex rules. Additionally, Francis encouraged the development of an indigenous rite that Cardinal Arismendi recalls Francis encouraging an enculturated rite that's like the Congolese rite. So he's creating all these new rites, Amazonian, Mayan in South Mexico and Chiapas, a Congolese rite. And here's why. Because all of these broken third world culturally bankrupt cultures. I'm trying to choose my words nicely here. Okay, third world armpit culture. These are being elevated for a few reasons. These are the cultures, go watch History Channel or Discovery, that Baalist rituals. Liberal. What else? They also like the animism. They also like the sun worship. They also like the moon worship. The element of witchcraft by communing seancically with your ancestors. It's everything.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.